This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music? Totally rad. The fashion? So fly. Home decor? That's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Our final hour today, 713-780-3776. We're talking a lot of Texans football here over the last few segments. Our Astros won. They won two out of three. Well, they lost yesterday, 12-3, but they won two out of three against the Angels now. Need, did you see the stat, the Astros, how good they are against winning teams and how crappy they are against losing teams? Like, it's just stupid.
We just saw it happen.
Yeah, they just beat the White Sox, who were a first-place team.
Swept the Marlins.
Swept the Marlins, but that's a team that's really, really taking a nosedive. But their record against winning, it's just Astros. But you know what? That's been a thing for a while. The bigger the series, the better, the more focus they have, the more, yeah. I mean, it's hard to keep that kind of intensity up for, you know, crappy teams like the Angels. But they got to be, you know, that's funny. I remember the one year they were just so good and so crappy against the bad teams and so good against the good teams. And you're not going to play bad teams in the postseason, but you still want to be – I mean, it's better than being a lamb killer, right?
Yeah, it's funny. They've got well, I'd rather have a lamb killer that wins more games, I guess.
I don't know. I'd rather be good against good teams.
That's great unless you aren't good enough because you won't make the postseason because you're not good enough. So good is relative. You got to be really good against those teams. The Astros have a losing record at home. They have a losing record on the road. At home, they're 26-27. On the road, they're 26-28. So they're kind of the same team. Like, it's not – there's no big advantage playing at home for them at all, literally at all. They've got 12 games in the next 12 days. 12-12.
Well, they got Thursday off this week.
Oh yeah, you're right. They do have Thursday off, but that's the only day off.
Yeah.
Until they get to So it looks like this. You've got Angels at Angels. Then Rangers come home for three. Blue Jays are there for three as well. So you got a 6-game home stand with the Rangers and then the Blue Jays. After that, you're on the road at the Padres and at the
Oh, you got some Giants. Big series coming up. Texas. Toronto's not that good this year, but
no.
You know, they're always a problem.
I would by that time, which is August 12th, when is the trade deadline?
The 3rd.
Okay, so you're well past the 3rd. That's the beginning. After the Rangers deadline, we'll see if the Astros make a move, either moving somebody out or bringing somebody in. Unlikely on out, even Paredes, unlikely.
I mean, what would you have to give up for a Mickey Moniak? That's something I'd like. Dalton Varsho, if the Blue Jays are giving up on the year. Not Jesus Sanchez.
You have to give up probably a decent minor league prospect. One, you're renting in essence.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in that.
What are the Rockies looking for with a Mickey Moniak? That would be nice to have a regular everyday.
You just like them to give away one of their players to the Astros. How much are you willing to give up? Let's ask the question: how much are you willing to give up for Mickey Moniak?
Not that much. What will they take? Is my question.
They're not
probably a decent minor league prospect.
They're going to look to get something you're not going to want to give up. Not you. You may not know exactly, but what Dana Brown's not going to want to give up.
Yeah, but Dana is a wheeler dealer.
Is he?
He's going to.
I mean.
Gonna, yeah.
Okay.
Most of the time, his wheels fall off the car.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at his pitching signings.
Well, Jesus Sanchez last year.
But Mickey Moniak's not a pitcher. I don't know if you heard.
Well, he traded for Jesus Sanchez. How'd that go?
That went great. Bad outfielder.
Looked at Moniak's?
Can't hit lefties. Bad outfielder.
Have you looked at Moniak's splits?
His splits suck. I'm just looking it up right now.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Oh, okay. What does he look like outside of Colorado?
Yeah, but Mickey Moniak was better before this. I mean, and we've seen him hit against the Astros before.
Splits aren't great.
I'm looking at Moniak right now. His last year before he got to Colorado, he hit .219 with 14 home runs.
I'll take that right
now. He's hitting .227
for the Astros.
That was in 2024.
This year he's hitting .227 away with 3 home runs and 15 RBIs. Home this year he is hitting. Hold on a second. Home this year, he is hitting .312 with 13 home runs and 28 RBIs.
Let's not forget 2023 when he hit .280.
85 games played.
In Colorado, he's hit .312 and .303 in his last two games in Colorado. I mean, his last 2 years in Colorado. 13 home runs, 15 home runs. Away, the Colorado effect, he's at .227 and .230. With 3 home runs and 9 home runs.
Who was the player that said Colorado affected his career? Like, because he had to hit there, and then hitting other places it affected him. I thought the Astros were either signed him or involved.
Yeah,
with him.
I thought they had a pitcher.
A pitcher who said that?
Well, look at Peter Lambert.
Lambert is the guy we were just talking about.
He gets out of there and boom, Cy Young.
Well, he had to spend time in Japan being terrible,
Moniak's,
too.
Moniak's,
and then he came over here and was good.
Moniak's road, his away stuff is not good since he's been in Colorado.
Well, let's not forget his 2023.
Yeah, we go back. Yeah, like
you want to mention
like CJ Stroud?
Hold on. Can you mention his 24, John, while you're at it, since you got your numbers? Can
I'm
you mention
saying
his
23. 24 is not what I'm talking about
so
right
like
now.
So, like CJ Stroud then.
219
if
there.
We go back to 2023.
170, 91,
remember
214.
How great that was?
You know what? People want to give CJ Stroud $60 million. There
who,
you go.
What people?
So, there's people out there.
Well,
pay that man.
Not decision
notably,
makers.
He's proven what
David
he's Mulgetta proven.
Does.
You mean David Mulugeta wants CJ to get $60 million?
No, there are Diaz advocates out there. I
who?
Mean,
people on Twitter?
Any reasonable
who cares?
People?
Give
Mickey Moniak that $60 million.
You mean people
million.
Who want every player to get the bag?
Yeah.
Get the bag.
Ignoring.
And then they go away when the bag turns into trash.
And then whine when the bag keeps you from making other moves and spending money.
This team is cheap. Like, oh, you got
Mickey Moniak could be our left-handed Jake Mars.
Stop.
Who's looking for left-handed Jake Mars?
Next topic. He's just trying to railroad you.
What's
right now,
wrong?
Though.
What kind of word? What kind of phrasing is that? You want to kill
all
his
I
dad?
Remember. I know Mickey Moniak has had a good time of it against the Astros,
yeah,
so we don't
you're
need him.
Remembering, he's no good whenever he's away from Colorado.
Yeah, he's been bad. I know this show doesn't operate in any real traditional sense. Well, we did in the last segment talking about what happened to a Chiefs.
Yeah, go ahead. This is serious.
So the wife of offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy was shot at the couple's home last night.
Yeah.
Mia Bieniemy has been hospitalized, and someone from the hospital or the police confirmed that it was a serious injury, but did not disclose the identity, so it was found out later that it is Bieniemy's wife. That is all we have at the moment. The Chiefs, in a statement, said they're aware of the incident involving Eric Bieniemy's family, and they did not provide further details. So as it stands right now, all we do know is that his wife, Eric Bieniemy's wife, Mia, was shot at their home. We don't know who by who or what
the
her enemy
is.
Is
with the team in Missouri. By
yeah.
The way. So lest anyone wants to try to connect Eric Bieniemy to this, not the story.
So Eric Bieniemy was with the Chiefs earlier Sunday in St. Joseph's, Missouri, at the campus of Missouri Western State for their practice at training camp. So she was.
At least from what I
the
can
couple,
tell.
By the way, the couple's home is in Virginia, so he wasn't there. So we don't need to, as Lance said, draw that connection. We just don't know who shot her or why.
That's a terrible story.
Yeah
it is.
Anybody gets shot. I don't know. Did they have to put in it's serious? Anytime you get shot, I feel like that's serious.
Well, unless it's a graze. Yes. Anytime a bullet pierces your skin, it's not great.
Yeah, so they said it was serious. So
it's
we'll
not
see.
Funny, I can tell you that. So no. Serious is...
We'll see what happens there with that.
No, no one says funnily enough, she got shot.
No.
No one says that, no.
Nothing funny about that.
No.
So hopefully everyone's okay. And as you said, Eric Bieniemy in Missouri, we do not have any more information regarding that incident.
I saw switching over to there's an article in Front Office Sports, and they talk about World Cup proved afternoon games can rate. Will more leagues follow? And they talk about the ratings for afternoon games and soccer, and Spain averaged 66 million viewers within the match's window, representing the largest U.S. audience. Blah blah blah. Yada yada yada. And even before the World Cup, there was growing acceptance and prominence of daytime and non-primetime starts across U.S. sports among the notable elements. What are they trying to say? College football has a ton of day games. We know that. Now, maybe the thought is shifting more earlier, but that's not going to happen. The way college football is set up, I think, is perfect. You got windows. You got your 11 o'clock window. Then you got your 3 o'clock window. I'm doing it in a general Central time sense. Sometimes games start at 2, whatever. And then you got your night window. You have three primary windows for college football watching where you can stack big games. The NFL already has the noon game. We have a ton of noon games. So we already know all about that. Is Major League Baseball has plenty of early games. Is there any reason ever to have why can't you have an NBA game in the afternoon? So if you can do it for Major League Baseball, why can't you do it for now college football and pro football? It happens on the weekends. Is there any reason maybe to say, hey, let's have weekend games for NBA in the afternoon?
They do have weekend afternoon games.
It's rare, not on most Saturday afternoons.
It used to be Sunday NBC.
NBC had a Saturday afternoon game every weekend.
Yeah, you would have one. Yeah. Is there any reason to maybe start stacking more of them in the afternoon on a Sunday? I don't think it's a bad idea.
When are those games?
You have some.
But they're not always on prime time. You will have games on, but a lot of the times they're regional
noon
broadcasts.
Rocket games.
You're looking after the football season is over, right?
Yes.
For these national televised games.
You can't compete with the NBA.
Yeah. Or NFL. Yeah. So if you're talking as soon as the Super Bowl is over, that next Sunday, you want to put some primetime games in the middle of the afternoon? Okay. That makes sense. You have enough streamers where you could stack them throughout the day and everyone could get their shot to give you a game. But we know some game will be on NBA TV involving two teams that we don't care about. They do that now. It's just that no one cares. But it's not a bad idea. I'm half to talk because he took a call. Well, John, if you can't see that.
No. We took a call?
No, he took a call.
Oh, Lance did. Okay.
So I'm talking instead of him.
Gotcha. All right, let's break because Lance has got a call. We're 713-780. You can call
713-780-3776. ESPN 97.5.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, man. Jim Nantz, Tony, keys to the game, Romo. I'm not legally allowed to have those right now, Jim.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's terrible.
For those who don't know, it's probably Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
Possible DUI.
Well, that's what he was arrested for.
I'll
tell you this.
John, big deal. He withdrew from his golf tournament because of this arrest.
Oh, my God.
He withdrew from the Texas State Open after the arrest.
Tony.
So how do you feel? Because you
I feel like ruined your life now.
You feel like people who drink are persecuted far more than they should be.
Yeah.
Now this involved driving, not just being drunk while you're at a bar. So you may look at it a little differently. But should he be so shamed that he can't even be in a golf tournament, John?
Well, you know what all the... Well, who knows? Maybe he needs help. Whatever. He needs help, then he needs help. And if he felt like that was the best for him, then that's...
Would you have... Not that you would ever be arrested for that, but let's say you had a viral moment because you were drinking. Would you be shamed into not being in a member guest?
Like at the Mug Awards, the original. Yeah. Like, not the Mug Awards.
Perhaps
like
our listener appreciation party.
No, our 6'10 fifth year anniversary.
You have our actual example. Okay.
Well, I mean, they started us drinking at 10 in the morning after the show, and it carried over until like 7 at night. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, yeah, they're asking for what they got.
Who did that? I don't remember any of that.
I know you wouldn't. They had a remember the party bus? There was a party bus. We had listeners on it.
He doesn't remember. He was having too good of a time.
Bum Ducks, which doesn't exist anymore. That's where we started. That's where I first met Tony Moles. And then we went to, I don't know, Buffalo Wild Wings or something before that. Maybe. I can't remember what was before it. And then Buffalo Wild Wings. Then we ended at
this
Coach's Sports Bar where Chance and Taylor slapped each other in a slap fest, and Mattress Mac was one of the judges. Jim Boylan was one of the judges from the Rockets. There was like the fire marshal had to come out. We had over 1,000 people in there. They had to shut down people getting in after that.
So we're going to have our fantasy football draft late August, and then within the day or two, we're going to have our listener appreciation party. At some point, John may do something to embarrass himself. And it might go viral. I'm not saying get arrested. But
there's
might...
more phones now. Yeah. We need to take up phones. Like, we need to go Dave Chappelle and make it might put go phones viral. In a sack.
You would not be cowed and shamed into not appearing someplace just because you got drunk and did something.
No, I can't see John back
no.
that.
No, I don't think so either. You'll be on that golf course the next day.
I've gone way too far to listen. In Game of Wago Palooza, where I came back to, where I came to from 610 over to 1560, we had a big party at Nick's place, and everyone was buying me Jaeger bomb shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know, is that what
you
it's called?
Ran Jaeger out bombs. Like a little BR.
Ran out. Really. I had like 9 of them. What are you talking about, ran out? I was there way too long.
And we were there hours and hours after.
Yeah, because I had to go lay down on my patio and eat a Whataburger like David Hasselhoff.
Story.
I've told you the story. Then we had a babysitter there the next door, and I told my wife, "Don't let her see me." And I'm out there laying on the ground eating a Whataburger.
You couldn't lay in your own bed?
Nah, I didn't want my kids to see me.
Okay, so they didn't see
want
you on the patio.
No. I told you, and the last time I got sick like that because I've been drinking too much was at that. God, what concert was that? Was that Jason Isbell, I think, where I had drinks at Ryan LaShane's at a booze can, these frozen drinks that you don't know how strong they are. Then we had a bunch of drinks at the venue. And that's when Mason's like, "Did Dad have food poisoning? I see there's vomit outside of the door." Yeah, he had food poisoning. Yeah, food.
Yeah, food poisoning.
Food, barley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has the sticking along those lines?
Actually, it wasn't beer.
Has the potential explosive diarrhea stuff affected your purchases at stores?
Oh my! It's almost like you set me up. So my wife said, "We're not getting any Taylor Farms. Don't even try it." Like, okay, Taylor Farms, that's the one. But they still have Taylor Farms stuff in there, and obviously, if it's on an HEB shelf, it's been vetted. Like, this is not part of the group of stuff or whatever. So she already told me, don't get any Taylor Farms. So I've got a video of her. I put a Taylor Farms thing in the cart this weekend while she was going to get something else. And I started taping her. And sure enough, she walked over there, saw it, and threw it with disdain back into a general shelf of bags of whatever it was. She just threw it in there I was laughing so hard. It is, they're definitely still out there. And she doesn't want to buy. I can tell you this. She said, "Don't you buy any of those?" Because she said it's like when the Listeria, when Bluebell had Listeria ice cream. That hurt their business for a while.
Bluebell, you think?
Yeah, it hurt
them for a long time. They had to close down forever to get all that and take it off all the shelves. You think that hurt their business?
Because so, you mentioned H-E-B. I went there last night, and, you know, I like a kale salad. It's got little cranberries in it, some pepitas, pumpkin seeds in it. I'm like, that's my choice of salad. Pretty basic. Throw some vinaigrette, and I'm good. I reached for it, and I was like, oh, that. I didn't get it.
Taylor Farms?
It's not Taylor Farms. Just anything.
Any.
I'm shook.
Yeah, I didn't even admit I'm shook. And since this started, I've not eaten any fruit.
I went to go grab it. It's my thing. I was like,
no, thank you.
And then I realized 2 to 14 days, huh? Before this impacts me. It's like, when's the last time I had a vegetable? I had some broccoli a couple days ago. I'm okay. I was like, I'll wait. Scott,
it takes 14 days.
I say it's like they say in cases it can take 2 to 14 days before you're affected.
Yeah, wow. I told you my dad actually had it for real. He legit had it, and it was man, it wasn't good. It knocked him down.
How are you gonna play golf with explosive
diarrhea?
You
can't. I played one time. Oh God, I'll tell you the story off the air.
Do we want to hear that
story? Yeah, off the air. I played disc golf, and I realized, I'm like, oh God, this is gonna be a problem. But I found
a
bathroom. No. I don't know how people did it in the past. I don't know how people can like dig holes and I'm just going to use the bathroom, dig a hole and use what? What are you, an animal? What are we doing? Digging holes. You just hold it. You hold it until you die. And then once you die, anything can happen. But people are like, oh, well, I go camping. We'll just set up pee outside is one of the great beauties of nature that God intended for you is to pee outside as a man. That's great. Women, yeah, not so much.
So people,
but for a guy, peeing outside is, I catch my kids all the time outside just whizzing peeing in the grass. Is grown.
Where they learn that from? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, they may see when they were young.
Someone provided an example
for
them.
Yeah, I mean, I at least go around outside outside the garage.
Why don't you just go inside? There's
no aim needed. You just cut it loose. It is a blessing. To be a man and stand outside and pee in your own yard, that is a blessing. That's owning a home right there, Dell. Home ownership. You got a home.
I don't.
You can pee outside in your backyard.
I don't pee.
I bet you do, actually.
I bet you I've never peed outside.
Two times. When you're at a house party.
Wait, what?
When you're at a house party.
You've never peed outside?
I peed outside, but not in my own backyard.
So the two times
I pee in my backyard all the time.
I've never done it.
Grown people do it all the time.
Why would you do it?
Means
you're
winning.
Because you don't want to go all the way to the bathroom and waste all that water that you flushed the toilet.
How many steps is it?
You still.
You know how many gallons of water you waste?
I'm good.
In L.A., they tell you to pee outside in L.A.
Pee outside every
time. In L.A., you're supposed to pee outside.
I go from the bathroom and go pee outside.
I've done it, too.
I live alone.
Because it's a blessing.
It's the water's the water. I mean, I don't. If I'm outside,
no
like
water, you just pee in grass and you're
there's
done.
There's kids in China that don't have any water. And here you are wasting.
These water sources are drying up. Pee outside and save the planet.
Is that true? There are kids in China with no water.
Probably India.
Who are you, Daryl Morey?
Maybe India. Yeah.
Probably India.
Somewhere Tim Tebow's been to dig wells and circumcise people.
So you think if I pee outside and don't flush my own toilet, that water goes to the kids in India?
Well,
yeah,
it goes directly.
I don't think so.
If you save that water, it goes directly to India.
The saved water isn't like the T-shirt for the team who doesn't win the Super Bowl. It doesn't work the same. That doesn't go over. The water
Let's go to Dell's
stays.
House and pee in his yard. That's what the chat wants to do.
Yep.
Is to gang up and pee in
your
yard.
Go pee in your yard.
Go ahead.
But peeing in the yard is great. Peeing outside is great. When you're at a party, like we used to be at Rich and Rosenberg, obviously, you know, you go to someone's house for a party, and you go around the back of their house, and you go pee by their garage.
Well, that's behind the garage. Maybe they don't want you in their bathroom. Okay, whatever. But if I'm outside cutting the grass, I'll just walk inside. It's fine.
Wait. Okay, John's got it.
Bad. Not great.
Oh.
Elijah Bieniemy, the son of Eric Bieniemy, has been charged with 3 felonies.
Jeez.
Are you serious?
Including it's not good.
I mean, it was in his house. It was either a break-in or something happened.
Yeah, he allegedly shot his mom.
God almighty.
Yeah. That's not great. That's not something we're looking for. Yeah, three felonies he's been charged with, and Mia Bieniemy has been shot. The Eric Bieniemy's wife. That's just the bad story of the morning. We will figure out what else we have missed when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. We got the Tony Romo. We got we talked WNBA. We talked Astros. We talked Texans. Eric Bieniemy, that's a sad story. For those of you who didn't hear, his wife was allegedly shot by his son, Elijah. He's been charged with three felonies. Use of a firearm in the commission of a felony, malicious wounding, discharging a firearm within a building. LeBron, we talked a little bit about that. Oh, the Knicks, allegedly, according to reports, LeBron contacted the Knicks and they had no interest. Had he gone to the Knicks, that would have been worse than the Kevin Durant to Golden State.
Durant blew a 3-1 lead.
And Durant lost to them up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He lost a 3-1 lead to the Warriors and then joined them the following offseason after they lost a 3-1 lead. This one would be like, all right, it's a ring chase. You can call it that and make your decision there. But I don't know that anything is as far as lack of respect, the Kevin Durant thing will live on. Like, if LeBron joined New York, not great. But what's going to top Durant's decision?
Like, I mean, nothing can. They were in the middle of a run. But this one, LeBron clicked up with, look, if you're going to do it to try to win a championship, that's as good as you're going to get outside of the two. Like, 76ers, you're in the East. You have Edge.
Had he gone to Oklahoma City because they lost?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would have been the worst.
But are the Sixers a championship team if you can't count on Joel Embiid?
No.
Probably not. But if
the
he
Knicks
plays,
are still the favorite in the East.
If he plays, which has been said for the better part of a decade now, if he plays. Like, they're not winning a title unless Embiid plays throughout the playoffs. And can you count on him for four straight rounds at the intensity that the playoffs will be played at?
Allegedly, had Jaylen Brown been traded to the Cavs for Donovan Mitchell, LeBron would have been a Cav.
Yeah, that came from Scoopy, who's who questionably is an NBA insider. I'm not even sure the validity of some of the things he says.
That's why I said allegedly.
Yeah, but apparently, if Darius Garland had stayed and they never made the James Harden trade and Donovan Mitchell was gone. Okay, so if things that already happened didn't happen, then he would be a Cav. Okay. Sure.
Right.
What do you guys think of LeBron for this move? I mean, it's on par with he's just ring chasing.
But where would he have gone where you wouldn't have taken issue? Generally.
Cleveland.
But Cleveland was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, I understand, but it's home base. Like, it's different. I would have looked at that differently. Miami, to a lesser extent, because he had already been there in those two places. The 76ers is like, look, it's ring chasing anyway around. There's no way around it. He's trying to chase this number. He's trying to chase Jordan's six rings. It's his thing. That's fine. I give him a lot of credit for taking the league minimum, and the reason I say that is because I haven't seen it done. I've never seen it done where guys actually are willing to do it. Certainly he doesn't need money. He could play for free, and there's no problem at all. Money is nothing to him.
You know what's floating around right now is the connection between Tops and the Sixers because of Ruben and Fanatics and all that. He had to divest in the Sixers because of all his connections.
Who did? Michael?
Ruben.
Ruben?
Yeah.
Is this the tree company all over again?
That is because LeBron takes the minimum, Topps actually tweets out first their deal, a Sixers LeBron card.
They did?
Yeah.
So Fanatics owns Topps?
I believe they're, I don't know exactly all the inner workings, but there's a connection there. There's a connection with the Sixers, and there is people wondering why is Topps breaking the news of the LeBron.
That's it.
Of LeBron joining the Sixers.
For those who don't know, the name Michael Rubin. Michael Rubin is the one who throws the infamous all white party. You dress in all whites. James Harden famously was left after the game six debacle. Which nightmare elimination was James? Was it the
Spurs, right?
I don't think it was, because that night he was at the strip club. I think it was a different one.
Okay.
I think it was a different elimination.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was Spurs game five or six.
Well, six was the when they got eliminated at home.
Yes, it was game six against the Spurs.
Because that same night, the story was James was at the strip club that night was the story.
Yeah, so broken up.
So he made it to the – I don't think so, because he made it to the all-white party the very next day.
To answer your question, Fanatics acquired Topps in 2022.
Okay, so Michael Rubin is a major, major player. C.J. Stroud has connections with him. Tom Brady, like major, major connections. He is a major. Fanatics is involved in a ton of things. The money is substantial. He's one of the most major players right now in sports, entertainment. I don't even know how to. My buddy in sports marketing could. My buddy in sports marketing is real clicked up with Panini. Who Panini hates Fanatics. But Fanatics is more than just the sports card business. They're in a lot of stuff, clothes, everything. And you know what? And Ruben is very influential. That would be one where LeBron could take $8 million and then they're going to be in charge of all of his, you know, or they'll get, he'll benefit from Fanatics jumping in and throwing a bunch of marketing money at him. I could see that happening. So not that it matters to any, like, what do we care?
Well, people don't really care that much about cap circumvention, really. I mean, this Kawhi thing's been going on for years. I don't know that the general NBA fan's upset about it. It's more of a media news story that people are interested in. But I guess the question would be, only if, because of Rubin's connections with the Sixers, would he have offered less to LeBron as far as the deal is concerned if he had joined another team? Because if he was going to get the same amount of money no matter where he signed, then who cares? But if the Sixers were like, hey, if you join the Sixers, we'll give you an extra $20 million in this top steal. That's where you could start to look into stuff. But that's conspiracy theories floating around right now, that this only happened because the deal from Topps became larger than it would have been normally.
Well,
people are asking the question because they still can't believe he joined the Sixers. Even Windhorst went on this morning.
Interference with money from outside sources.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even Windhorst went on this morning and said, this isn't about family. This isn't about money. He won't even live in the city because he plans to live in New York. He's never seen an NBA player make this type of decision. Not money, not family. Doesn't even care that much for the city if he's not going to live there. And still, he joined the Sixers. Think of an NBA player who's
done
that.
Where's he going to live?
New York. He's going to live in New York at least part time.
Sixers, depending on where you are, it's not far.
And the Sixers practice facility is in Camden, New Jersey. I don't know how long. I don't know exactly in New York where he's going to live. But can you think of an NBA player who made it not about the money, the family, or the location?
He did have some very positive words for Sixers fans.
Just about
last
the chasing.
Year.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of guys they didn't want. There's places they didn't want to go, but that was the best opportunity to win.
But there's not. It's a more recent. It's a more recent phenomenon over the last 15 years.
The ring chasing. Yeah. But how many of those guys, as far as his level, I'm not talking about some
nobody
from eighth guy on a rotation.
Well, Jordan was chasing with the Wizards, where he went to the Wizards and chased.
Well, no, but Bill Walton chased when he went to
Bill Walton didn't have his foot injury. Remember, he didn't really have a chance. Like, that was just a free agent move.
Walton went to Boston.
Yeah, but they needed
win.
A big.
To win. A lot of guys, Rick Fox went to the Lakers. It's been going on forever.
Yeah, but I don't think that's ring chasing is when a guy is at the end of his career and he's like Charles Barkley would have been.
Scotty.
He was part of a trade, but Scotty went to Portland. I mean, look, he went to Houston, Portland.
Scotty
going to
came
a good
here,
team.
Yeah.
I mean, famous to me, ring chasing really, it wasn't about Scott. Scotty had his rings. It's Karl Malone and Gary Payton are the prime examples of ring chasing. That's what it looks like.
Right.
Well, you were great on other teams, and you're literally just. They were unapologetic.
Yeah, but LeBron's got his rings too.
And Rick Fox chose L.A. and he wanted an acting career.
Yeah, there was more to that. LeBron literally is chasing Jordan. Not that he's chasing a number. He's chasing a number six. He's trying to get that. He wants to be on par with Jordan.
He ain't getting that.
I don't think so either. I don't think so. There are a lot of the point was made in the chat. There's a lot of. Alphas on that
team.
It's
so funny he's chasing six. Oh, you should be chasing 11.
I mean, no, come on. No one can do that. In the modern era, that was back when you had eight teams or whatever. It's totally different. I don't even count. Bill Walton's 11. People can say that all they want. I mean, Bill Russell. Go look at Bill. Go look at how many teams were in there. Go look at the free agency. You didn't have free agency. Go look. That was a joke. Once you had a really good team, you were going to win a ton of games. There was only like three teams that were even factors back then. This is a totally different. You get to six rings now. That's crazy. If you're the best player, Robert Horry's got more than that. Robert's got seven. But if you're not the best player, I just think you're fortunate. And I watched Jailblazers. Did you both watch Jailblazers?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
God, you know what really stood out to me is Bob Whitsitt just refused to take any accountability for bringing in some arch criminals.
Didn't care.
He's just like, nah. We thought everyone deserves a second chance. Like, Bob, you brought in Zach on the heels of all the – you brought in Zach Randolph, who I had the Rockets tell me the gun stuff and his connection, the guys he was connected with, they were so uncomfortable that they said, this guy, we just can't even touch him. You know, he had tons of gun stuff in his background. And then he had his friends were just terrible. The Rockets' background was so bad on him, they just said he's one of the worst guys we've ever done background on. One of the worst ever. And Blazers like, yeah, that's our guy right there. Reuben Patterson coming off of a sexual assault. He had to literally took a plea deal where he had to, what is it called when you had to, as a sexual, you have to check in where you are because he had forced sexual encounter with a nanny and he took a plea deal of some sort. I mean, I had to Google his name after the doc was done and go find out. Oh yeah, he had more stuff after he was done playing basketball. That wasn't it for Ruben, but the Jailblazers and Bob Whitsitt tried to say, look, you hear names like Bad Boy Pistons and Showtime Lakers, and now you know Jailblazers. You don't get monikers, iconic monikers for just nothing. You had to be a pretty good team. They're like, dude, that's not what this is about, Bob. He's still not Rasheed Wallace. He just comes off as just so unlikable. Rasheed doesn't give a flip about any fans ever. Never has and never will. Bonzi, you know what? I got a little different sense of Bonzi.
I know. Bonzi was a better guy than I thought.
Yeah. Bonzi was just a weed smoker. I mean, and it probably was different because he was on that team. Damon Stoudemire loved weed, but you didn't, you know, Damon was just a guy who
How about that
out.
They broke into his house, though?
Oh, I know. The cops, like, oh, his alarms were going off, so we went into his house and searched the whole house. Yeah, that's
and
not
found like, in some crawl space or in some
crawl space
attic.
A pound of weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't sound like you were looking for the people who were because of his alarm going off, quote unquote. That was even the judges said, "Yeah, illegal search and seizure."
Yeah, that's terrible.
This is not.
All right, let's break. I think that's it. I think we caught we got everything, including the Jailblazers. On top of everything else, that was a little added
value
for
you.
It's
worth watching. It's not the greatest documentary, but you know, if you're an NBA fan and you watched it, it gives you a little context, I guess.
All right, news of the wear next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Got a bit of a complicated story for you here, boys. Let me see how you guys feel about this. A furious father suing the school council, after claiming his son's human rights were violated because teachers told the son, who is heavy, to maybe stop eating Doritos and eat something healthier.
Porky, hog, fat ass, double wide, butterball.
I mean, you just have an opinion. What?
Me, do you think that he should sue for 16,000 pounds because they told him maybe you should eat healthier?
I guess.
Would a legal,
why is it his body, his choice?
Would an appropriate legal response be from the school? Well, we don't want you to gain 16,000 pounds, so we'd ask you not to eat the chips. Is that an appropriate legal response from the school?
The school is saying we just want him to be healthy. You know, we're trying to teach students, and part of that is, you know, being healthy. The problem is he's 12 years old, he's autistic, and now he's not eating anything.
They told him not to eat something, and now he's like, all right.
Okay.
That's tough.
That is
tough. It a school that is specific to a kid with who's autistic, like their needs, or is it just a regular school and they don't really know what they're doing?
I don't think they realize the consequences. But now, on the other side, the dad is also claiming the teachers at the school have been too rough on his child during a previous incident when they had to pull his kid off another child he was strangling.
What does too rough mean?
I don't know. Maybe they were too. Too aggressive when they're trying to save another kid's life?
Strangling. You don't normally hear about another kid strangling another kid. You want a punch, a kick, a 12-year-old strangling another kid?
This story has way too many layers. Way, way too many layers.
He's a kid's involved in some stuff.
Yeah. He just wants to eat Doritos and strangle kids.
Well, I don't know about the strangling part, but who doesn't just want to eat Doritos?
Yeah, I
know, right?
I mean,
but
don't
you think you should eat something a little healthier?
Sure. Did he get the Doritos from his parents, or was he buying these Doritos at the school?
Oh, maybe both.
Maybe.
Think he was. He might have been bringing them from home. Dad says, "Hey, Dad
yeah, if they're
says
saying
I can
you're
eat
eating
Doritos.
Too much Doritos,
but if that's all he's going to eat,
so maybe the parents should have taken on some responsibility and not just handed him. I don't know how this came about. I'm just going by an assumption. I don't know what they were giving him to eat at school, whether it came from the school, but there seems to be some responsibility maybe on both sides of this to make sure the kid has other options.
Yeah, I don't know.
Eating at all.
I just feel like you shouldn't be able to strangle other kids.
Well, no.
But you should be able to eat your Doritos if you want.
Maybe not only Doritos, maybe.
Well,
like, you know,
if that's all you'll eat.
When I went to school, of course, different situations, you have your little bag of Doritos plus your fruit of choice, and then you have your sandwich, whatever got packed in. I can see that as reasonable. But if you're a parent and your kid is saying Doritos are nothing, I guess maybe you acquiesce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That, you know what, gentlemen? That story, another reason. Never going to have kids.
You're never going to have kids that they don't strangle other kids and just eat Doritos.
Because it's going to be my fault, you know. No matter what, no matter how hard you try, if your kid is strangling other kids, it's coming back on you.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you absolutely.
Like,
you
even,
should.
Even
you're
if
be
you've
responsible.
Done your very best, like every if even every day you say don't put your hands around another kid's throat. If you say that every day and the kid still does it, it's on you.
It's not on you.
You told the kid not to.
No,
it's that's
on
how it
you.
Works. Though.
It's on you though. If you even if you explicitly
you can't
say
control your kids,
like
don't strangle other kids.
Johnny,
if you say it every day, you're actually putting it in his head.
Well, see how you just put it on me when I did everything I could not to have him do it. See,
well,
that's my point.
Yeah. Well, don't tell your kid that every day.
If he's done it once, I gotta make it known. Don't do it again. And I've done what I can. I've given him the instructions, and it still happens. It's on me.
Yeah, but I do it. I tell my kids.
You tell your kids to do stuff, and they still do it.
They just don't.
No,
dude, not the school stuff.
But if you tell them not to do it every day, guess what they're going to do? That.
How can I reinforce what's bad if I don't tell them?
Tell
it's
them
bad?
Once. Tell them you'll beat the snot out of them if they do it again.
You can't do that either.
Yeah, you.
At
can.
Least that's what I've been told.
I did.
And did it work?
I did. Yeah, it was great parenting.
Snot beating.
Snot beating. beat the beat the snot out of you.
Is that hitting someone in the nose or just any punch will do to beat the snot out of them?
Oh yeah,
any
no, you punch. Can punch somebody in the stomach and snot will come out.
Just figure out where to target them.
Right.
Sometimes you can laugh the snot out. You laugh so hard.
Yeah.
You heard that? Sometimes shot you can drink farmers, out of your nose. You hear
you
something
can
funny.
Farmer blow, snot will come out of your nose.
There's lots of stuff that'll make snot come out.
Yep. We're done. Mopey and Mapes are next.
And if you got a problem with that, Dr. Michael Kaplan can help get it out the right way with balloon sinuplasty.
What? Yeah. If you do have a problem.
That's right.
If you got there you problem. Go, Doc. Right.
Does you think he enjoys being the tag on the end of the segment?
I think
yes,
he's fine
I
with
think
it.
So.
I think he's fine with
you
it.
You got Doritos, beating the snot out
he's
of a kid.
He's a pragmatist.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Right. He had Glenn Davis for the almost
that's
the entirety
better.
Of the summer.
That's
he loved
classier.
That.
Yeah, better. That's a little classier.
And then you did that.
Honest.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a little added value. That's all, Doc. We're done, Mopey and Mapes. Next. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, buddy.
ESPN 97.5.
Bye, bitch.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now.